6 hours. Fun and games, all yours with Larry Glick.
Do do da da da, Scooby Dooby Doo. Do Scooby Dooby, Dooby Dooby Doo. Let's see what we have here. Oh, this is something, an invitation. An invitation to a divorce party. Let's see. David Durant. You remember about a year ago? This fellow David Durant had a divorce party, and he's having another party. We were married 7 years ago in England. We've been separated for the past 2 years. Divorce papers came through last week, and he sent me an invitation. This is the invitation. One up, Mr. David Durant invites you to join him in celebration of the first anniversary of the great party, Saturday, July 14, 1973, from 4 to 4 at Hillcrest Farm in Bolton, Massachusetts. Dress is formal. This guy got a divorce. He's having a party. Remember that story?
Yeah, the big party, yeah.
Big party, the divorce party.
Right.
He's
right.
Every year he's going to
In the window of Jack and Marion's, when they tell you what the... I don't know if that's not a plug, is it, right?
Yeah.
In the window, when they show who they cater for weddings, graduations, divorces, separations. So, you know, maybe a good
they still
a
have it.
Thing, yeah.
They still have it at Jack and Marion's. Yeah. And they do. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Jimmy Solomon. And they had one last week, a divorce party.
Hmm.
And it was quite a festive occasion.
Well, it should be.
I know it.
I mean, why shouldn't you be as happy about, one thing as you are the other?
I know it. Let's see, we're gonna have a good show tonight.
My little kid got 125.
Oh, Paul Kelly, what happened to him?
125 cards he got.
Hey, folks.
All over the wall.
Hey, for the folks who wrote. And,
yes. Thank you very much.
120 cards.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
And we got a lot of them had dollar bills in them.
Oh, hey, that
which
folks,
he really loved.
Yeah.
And
what nice people.
Some people sent little gifts. Charlie DiGiovanni made a special trip in here Saturday to give me a big Snoopy dog to give him, which I did, which he keeps right at in his bed.
Is little Paul still in the hospital?
Yeah, he'll be home Friday, though. Friday he comes home.
Yeah.
And he'll be glad to get home. But every day, that the mail got to be a whole big thing. You know, the nurses would come in with the big stack of mail, and his eyes would light up. He really loved it.
4-year-old Paul Kelly. And, isn't it funny? he had an obstruction in his bladder, right?
Right.
I thought of him. I went to the movie. I saw that picture of Paper Moon.
Ryan
O'Neill and his daughter, Patty.
Yeah.
So they picked up this girl, and she wasn't, oh. That's, Carol's talking to John outside, and we leave the door open for ventilation. And what you just said went out over the air. So anyway, this little girl, they picked up this girl, and not the type of girl that you want to take home to meet mommy. And every 2 minutes she had to go to the ladies' room. Not every 2 minutes, but they were riding every time she had to go. And this little kid, she's a 9-year-old kid. And she didn't particularly care for her because she was moving in on her.
Oh.
And they had a little...
with the old
little,
man.
But right. They had a little problem, And she said, she must have a bladder as big as a BB or something. The way she said it. Some of the things that little kid came out with.
It was a good movie, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And this was why they were arrested, finally, because they weren't 100% legitimate. What they would do...
They were a con team, weren't they?
Yeah, what they would do is they'd... he'd get the obits. And then a couple of weeks after the... This is down in the Midwest someplace in the farm country. And after someone would die, he'd come and he'd say, is Morris Kelly here? So he'd say, they'd always they'd have this sad face. They'd say, Morris passed away 2 weeks ago. Oh, I'm sorry. She said, well, was there anything I can... This was a poor widow. Is there anything... Well, he ordered A Bible.
Oh, wow.
He was the Bible. Then he would find out who the one who was bereaving, you know, be the mother or the wife or something, and he'd have the name. He said it was for, there's a name engraved in gold, Molly. They'd say, that's me, I'm Molly. Oh, well, he passed away, that's not, you're not obliged to take it. He did put a dollar down on it, and I'd like to give you the dollar back. Oh, she said, well, how much is it? She said, Morris really got a Bible for me? It says Morris Kelly.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Real con game.
Right. And then this little kid, he was charging like $7, see, for the Bible. And then what this little kid would do, women are pretty smart. Even little girls are pretty smart. She would see a woman, the widow would come, if she were well-groomed in jewels and diamonds, she upped us $24. And then there was one widow with 15 kids running around, and she gave them to them free.
That was, well, you know, there have been cases of people, guys who are in the business of selling fire insurance, and they'll buy an old house, you know, in a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll start a little fire. And then the next day they'll go around and say, listen.
Oh, there was one, Jack, there's one scene where they were arrested. They were arrested, the two of them were in the can. And she was a resourceful little girl. So finally she stood up and she said, in a loud voice, she says, Daddy, I have to go to the... So that was the way they got out.
They got out quick then.
Yeah.
Okay, see you later.
All right, Jack. So long, Jack.
So long.
You're okay, kid.
Sports and weather.
Oh, hey, Jack, how about one more plug for Paul?
Well,
4-year-old Paul's
got it. Yeah, I'm just afraid he won't get the mail.
Yeah,
the only thing.
If it's a little late...
They'll send it to the house.
Send it to the house, sure. Give him another plug. This is for 4-year-old Paul Kelly. One more plug.
Leonard Morse Hospital.
Leonard Morse Hospital.
In Natick.
In Natick, Massachusetts.
Right.
Okay.
And he really appreciates all the stuff he's got.
He's saving on the mail, isn't he?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. It was all up on the wall. I think what we'll do is... it's all up. They have a corkboard wall on the side of in the one room. And so I think what we'll do is we'll leave all the cards there when he goes home so that, you know, the other kids who come in who don't maybe not have as many cards will have those to look at.
Very good. Okay.
Okay. See you later.
So long, Jay. Let me see. At 1 o'clock, we're going to have a gentleman named John Lutz. John Lutz, who's head of Odyssey Science Research Association. What do? They investigate calls about monsters, UFOs. They worked with NICAP. They've done investigation on Sasquatch. And let's see what we have here. I want to thank Audrey Bell. Hi, Audrey. She lives down in Bethesda, Maryland. She sent this newspaper clipping on him. We're going to find out what a snallygaster is. A snallygaster. Hear not, you rotten snallygasters. Oh, John says he sees a snallygaster. They're down in Sykesville. The Sykesville beast, still a mystery. A snallygaster. And you'll not find out what a snallygaster is until 1 o'clock, until we have John Lutz. John Lutz, the snallygaster hunter.
Note we have here, snallygaster. Okay. We did that. Sports and weather. Thanks, Audrey Bell, for sending that in. And I think I'll go to this thing, this wedding with Durant. I remember that Durant situation, a divorce. That's it. At Jackie Marion's in Brookline, they do. They have a big sign. They cater to parties. weddings, anniversaries, divorces, bar mitzvahs. If there's any group, any gathering, Jimmy Solomon will take care of it. Okay, it's 14 and a half minutes after 12 o'clock. John Detroit. John, it's good to see you, John. Good to see you, John Detroit. And I can't see Muck, and that's okay, too. Okay, our number's 254-5678. Area code 617. I hear people have been picking on him. Picking up, John's whacking him on the head. Joel Browder writing up a few little interesting things. Okay, let's take a call. 254-5678, area code 617. We'll see who we have out in Radio Land. Hello.
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 First time caller. First time caller gets a round of applause.
Larry.
Yes?
I'd like to talk about the Watergate.
The Watergate? What's that?
You know the Watergate, the hearings.
Oh, the hearings, that Watergate. Oh, sure. Okay.
First call, I have to talk about Watergate.
Just a second.
John, the first call, Watergate. Getting off to a good start, right? Yes, go ahead, lady.
Lady?
Huh?
What do you mean, lady?
Aren't you a lady?
No, I'm a boy.
You're a boy?
Yeah.
How old are you?
13.
13? Well, lower your voice, kid. You sound like you sound like a lady. You sound like an old lady darning socks.
Is this low enough?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, kid.
Okay. I don't think they should stop the Watergate hearings just because Brezhnev's here. Nixon just wants to make the United States look good. When really the Watergate just makes it look bad. And I called up another talk show a little while ago, and the man there said I sound like a fanatic. And if they had something like this over in other countries, if they had something like that would look that make that country look bad, and then another leader from another country came and they just try to cover it up just the same. You know what I mean?
No.
You know, they just try to make it look like nothing's happened.
Hey, kid.
Yeah.
What town do you live in?
South Boston.
It's South Boston.
Yes.
Hey, where's your radio? Can you see your radio from where you are?
Yeah.
Look at your radio now. Concentrate on it.
All right.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
254-567. Let's take another call. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Larry Glick.
Hello there.
Hey, this is Mark Berkowitz. And
hey,
I'm
Mark
Berkowitz. From Los Angeles, Larry.
Mark Berkowitz from Los Angeles. You
right.
Son of a gun.
How are you?
Molto bene.
Hey, I
feel a good.
Huh?
I feel a good.
You feel a good?
See. Si.
That's a good.
What are you doing out in Los Angeles,
well,
Mark?
Well, I moved out here. I left Boston when I graduated from school, and I'm out here working at CBS now.
What's the CBS outlet in Los Angeles? What's the CBS outlet in California?
Oh, KNXT.
What is it?
KNXT.
Oh, is that in Los Angeles?
Right.
And what are you doing there?
Well, I'm working at Television City right now as a page.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also doing Magic at the Magic Castle.
Obvious, I don't think.
So,
that's very good, Mark.
Yeah, I'm hitting the big time.
Now,
you're
gonna,
surely,
now in show business, you're going to keep the name Mark Berkowitz?
Well, I don't know. Somebody told me that I had to change it, but I haven't found the right one yet.
Mark Burke.
You told me that. Mark, like, I thought maybe Mark Glick.
Mark Glick, forget the Glick, use your own stuff. No, but I mean, you're a good-looking kid, and Mark Berkowitz, it doesn't cut it, kid.
No, I know it.
Mark, stay tuned for the Mark Berkowitz Show.
See, it's too long, right?
Yeah, it's too long. It's not catchy enough. Mark Berkowitz. Maybe just the Wits. Mark Wits.
Mark Wits.
Huh?
I don't know. I've been working with a bunch of different names. But
Mark Wits. Huh?
No, I don't know. That's not it, Larry.
Mark...
How are things in Boston?
Let's see. How about Wits Burke?
No.
Wits Burke. The Wits Burke Show. They say, what? Wits Burke. Mark Burke. I don't like Mark Burke either. I don't like that either. Mark
Burke. No, it's got to be a two-syllable last name.
Yeah, Mark, let me see, Mark. Let's get rid of Mark, huh?
No, I want
to
keep that.
We can change it. How about, to Berkowitz is your last name, how about the Morris Berkowitz Show?
That's better, Larry.
Morris Berkowitz, right?
I don't think so.
I can't get it.
Say, how's Boston?
How's Boston? What do you mean, how's Boston?
Just what I said.
Boston is fine.
Great.
I mean, it's really great.
How's the weather?
It's just great.
Yeah?
Everything is just beautiful.
I was 105 here today.
The Mark Berkowitz Show, no. Well, okay, Mark, I don't know what to say, except I wish you luck, and I'd like to know what progress you're making.
Okay.
Keep me posted, okay?
I will keep
As soon
you
as you get a little higher than a page, all right?
Okay, well, listen, man, it's just 6 weeks, and I'm making my move slowly, but I told you I was going to be rich and famous, and it's going to happen.
The Paige Berkowitz Show, no?
No. Anybody
the Bernie Berkowitz Show.
I happen to think, have you ever talked to Pat Collins, the hypnotist? says she's got a club out here.
Yes. She has her own club?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, on the strip, right on Sunset Boulevard, she's got her own club.
It's called Pat Collins Club?
Right. She bills herself as a hip hypnotist, and she's on. She works three nights a week, and she also teaches.
I'll be a son of a... I didn't know that.
Yep. See, you got to keep in touch with me, man. I want you to know what's going on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Morris. Hey, hey, Mark, you all right, kid? A hip hypnotist, eh?
Right. Have you ever seen her work?
No. But I hear she's very good.
Yeah.
And there's another fellow, there's another hypnotist down there in Los Angeles who does the same thing.
Really?
Dean is his name. Dean. Dr. Dean.
Dr. Dean.
That's not his real name either. His name is,
Morris Berkowitz, probably.
It's Sam Berkowitz, I think.
Sam Berkowitz.
But he calls himself Dr. Dean. No, seriously, and he's, he has a PhD in education.
Yeah.
And he also does, he's a nightclub entertainer. He does hypnosis. He's the one that hypnotized, remember they had that the heavyweight fight?
Oh, yeah, Joe Frazier?
No, he, Norton.
Oh, yeah.
He was working with Norton. He used hypnosis for Norton.
Oh, yeah.
Gave him confidence, said he could hit harder than he ever could before, and it was very effective.
Right.
Hey, what was Dr. Dean's real name? The one, huh? Dr. Berman.
Dr. Berman.
Hey, you call him up. Was he in Los Angeles? Let's see, I've got, here's my research director.
How's Muck?
Oh, Muck is really great. We found out that Muck is, Muck really is a snallygaster.
Oh, really? I took shots for that one.
Oh, here it is right here. Michael Dean is an example of a better type proponent of this. Actually, Dr. Sanford I. Berman. He holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Minnesota, a master's degree from Columbia University, and a PhD from Northwestern. He told me he selected the challenge of becoming a stage hypnotist because he enjoys working with people and the show provides him with the opportunity to illustrate dramatically the power of hypnosis in education and psychiatry. I think he's in Los Angeles. No, San Diego.
San Diego.
He's in San Diego. Hey, you know what I'd like you to do? Hey, call him up. Would you spend a call? And his name is, he goes under Dr. Dean.
Yeah.
But call up and say, Dr. Berman? He'll say, who's this? You'll say, this is Berkowitz. Who? Tell, this is a friend of Larry Glick from WBZ, had you on the air.
And he'll be thrilled, I'm sure.
He'll be really thrilled.
Yeah.
He was supposed to send me some literature, some of the things that he teaches, but he never sent it to me. Would you ask him if he'd send it to me, please?
More than happy to do that.
Huh? And I'm serious.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Huh?
Sure, I'll call him for you.
It's either under Michael Dean or Dr. Sanford I. Sanford Isaac Berman.
Alrighty.
Okay?
Yeah.
And tell him he didn't make that much of a hit with me. Okay?
All right. I got one question before we go.
What is it, Berkey?
Have you heard of anything out there of the writer's strike? Have they made much mention?
The writer's strike?
Yeah.
No.
Really? See, people in the East don't know what's going on, Larry.
The writer's strike. Who's striking? What writers?
The Writers Guild of America for 4 months now, and there's not going to be a new TV season in the fall unless this thing's over with. That's why there's no work out here right now.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hey, you graduated from Graham, right?
Right.
Well, it's a two-year course, right?
Uh-huh.
See, Mark's here at Westinghouse. You're out there. You're okay, Berkey.
That's all right. Hey, tell Muck hello.
I'll tell him nothing. We don't give messages over the air.
That's right.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this.
Yeah?
When would you let me know about this fella? You're going to contact him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm serious about it now.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay, kid.
Okay, listen, I'll either drop your card or I'll give you a call.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, help me out, kid. I need your help. You understand?
All righty.
So long, Berkey.
Bye-bye.
There are literally hundreds of fatherless black families in Boston. The Black Big Brothers Alliance is striving to help the mothers of these families in rearing their sons. Prevent a future of discrimination, confused identity, and a loss of respect. This is BZ's Larry Justice urging you to become a Black Big Brother. Call 442-0929.
Remember last summer and Greece weekend? You should have seen the mail. I guess a lot of people had a good time because they were writing us letters, saying things like, what a ball we had reliving
those rock and roll days. Just listening to the good old songs brought back so many memories.
When I turned on my radio and heard Arnie Ginsberg, I thought I was hearing things. Greece weekend was fantastic.
Keep it up. Don't ever stop.
The disc jockeys were fantastic. The music was great.
Do you think Greece weekend will ever return? You bet it will. The weekend of July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. 22nd, and you won't want to miss it. WBZ's second annual original Grease Weekend.
Let's see, we have a little something here. It's 25 minutes after 12. We have some internal correspondence, and it's from Bob Oaks. Hi, Bob. I have to give away three things. We have up to 100 swell prizes for up to 100 swell calls. Are you ready for this? We have passes here to a special screening of The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing, starring Burt Reynolds at the Sherry Theater Prudential Center. And this is for Tuesday morning, June 26th at 10:30 a.m. I won't be here at that time because I'll be in Ireland having a little Irish mist at that time. Now, we can award a pass or two for interesting calls. If you call up and you'd like to have it, I'll give you some. All right? All you have to do is pick up the tickets at the BZ switchboard. And what I'll do, if you'd like to have these things or if I award you some, I'll put you on with Mark and he'll take the winner's names and he'll give the particulars off the air, okay? It's as simple as that. We have this message and we'll take another call.
When you say bud,
you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
When you say bud,
you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best.
When you say bud,
you said the word that means you like to do it all.
When you say bud,
you say you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. There is no other one.
There's only something less, because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say bud, you said it all.
You said it all.
When you say bud, you said it all.
All right, let's take a call. Let's see, we have here 27 after 12. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Hey, Larry.
Hello there.
This ain't going to be a ticket winner.
This ain't call. It ain't going to be a ticket winner?
No, but I need a favor.
You need a favor?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm the godfather. What's the favor?
Do you have a tape of a siren you can play for a couple seconds?
A tape of a siren?
Yeah.
No, why?
No, because I just played it before.
I don't have it. Why? What do you want the tape of a siren for?
Because I need a tape of a siren.
This is Sergeant O'Toole. Pull over. Get over to the side of the road. All right. Let's see your driver's license and your registration.
Okay, let me get it out of the park.
Okay.
Could you play a tape of the baloney tape, too?
No.
No?
Why?
I'm getting pushy.
Yeah, you are getting kind of pushy. Although, Jack Kelly was in here a while ago and he said... That's his favorite song.
It's a good song.
It's a good song is right.
I called you up the night you came in late.
Yeah.
And
I don't like to hear that.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods. The nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out. Except a piece of baloney. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins a piece of baloney. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after seven, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. No, I don't think you can beat that dream, I win the baloney. The other one said, I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. Now I don't think you can beat that dream, I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too. It's a dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and then they're gone.
And I got so lonesome. I didn't think you was coming back.
I got up and I ate the bologna.
This morning becoming cloudy by sunrise with some fog developing near the coast. Low temperatures in the 60s. Thursday becoming partly cloudy by the afternoon. Chance of a shower or thunder shower during the afternoon. Highest temperature in the low to mid 80s. And Thursday night, chance of an evening shower or thunder shower followed by variable cloudiness. Friday, partly cloudy. Highest temperatures in 80. Right now in Boston, it's 69 degrees. Okay, let's take another call. 254-5678. Hello. Hello?
Larry.
Yes.
How are you? First time caller.
I can hardly hear you.
You can't hear me?
Now I can.
All right.
What'd you say?
First time caller.
First time caller.
All right. There's two other guys here. We all have to talk to you because we listen to you all the time, you know.
Yes.
And so, everybody has to talk to you. So, here's one kid, okay?
Where are you calling from?
Belmont.
Are you a rich kid?
No.
Okay.
Okay, here's one of them, okay? This kid's a Hebrew. I'm an Irishman.
You're an Irishman, the other kid's a Hebrew?
Yeah.
Did you like that song you just played?
Of course, I've heard
of course.
It. Keep your, but I like it.
Don't get excited, kid. Keep your voice down.
I'll try.
Okay.
Here's the Hebrew, okay?
Yeah, put the Hebrew on.
Larry, shalom.
Shalom, Hebrew.
How are you?
Okay.
Listen, I listen to you every night. I think you're the funniest guy around.
Listen, Hebrew, I do the best I can.
You do a good job, Larry.
I do the best I can.
Well, me and this Irishman,
how'd
the bologna song.
Do you like the bologna song?
Yeah, we were going to ask you to play it if you didn't play it.
I just played it.
I know.
The Irishman and the Hebrew went out for recreation. Are you a rich kid in Belmont?
No, I don't live in Belmont.
Where do you live?
I live in Newton.
You live in Newton? This kid lives in Belmont.
Yeah.
Okay, you have any women over there?
No, we just dropped them off.
Oh, you just dropped them off?
Yeah.
Where do you go to school?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, right now I'm going to University of Vermont.
Where is that? What city?
It's in Burlington.
Oh, yeah. What does the other guy do?
He's going to Berwick Academy in Maine.
What academy?
Berwick.
Where is that?
In Berwick, Maine. South Berwick, Maine.
Oh, I don't know that school.
Listen, his father's name is Jack Kelly.
Jack Kelly?
And his name is Paul Kelly.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, listen, I have to award, if that's the truth, if his father's name is Jack Kelly and that's Paul Kelly, that's really coincidence, right, with Jack and Paul Kelly?
I know, we've been meaning to tell you about it.
Would you like some passes?
Sure.
All right. You just heard me mention this about the special screening that they're going to have. I don't understand the title of this picture, Man Who Loved Cat Dancing, whatever that means, but Burt Reynolds is in it, and they say it's a good picture. Here's what to do off the air. Give your name and Kelly's name to Muck and pick up the passes at the BZ switchboard, okay?
Fine.
What's your name, kid?
Ronnie
Bronstein.
Yeah.
Okay. Give your name to Muck and Muck, get these names down. Let's give some free passes away, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry.
So long, kid.
All right. Bye-bye.
254-5678. Hello. WBZ, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Larry.
Yes.
Joanne. Remember I called you last night?
Who is this?
Joanne. I called you last night.
Joanne,
about Walpole.
Your husband's the guard out there at Walpole.
Yes,
he is. Hey, do you want to hear something? You know I got in a little trouble over that call?
You and I both.
You got in trouble too? Listen to this.
What happened? Wait a minute. Bruce, turn down the television. Larry,
yeah, here's what happened.
What happened?
Well, you know, we joke around a lot, don't we? On the program, we fool around. So, remember we were talking, the conversation got a little lighter. Like I said, one way to handle it, you know, I don't think about penal institutions, but I'd say get the good guys and put the good guys on one side and then put the tough guys, the incorrigibles, on the other side, and then I fired the gun.
Yes, I remember.
Right?
Yeah, right.
You're laughing about it, and I told you they laughed, but then there were some people who called the station today.
Yeah.
And they spoke to the program director, and they said, they don't appreciate Larry Glick's humor.
Oh, man.
That's a fact, Joanne. That's what they said.
Oh.
So I said it was, of course I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm not a man of violence. Would I shoot anyone? It's a fun thing. But anyways, they spoke to me. Then they said, Larry, would you do me a favor?
And I said, I'm a godfather, I'll do you a favor. They said, don't shoot anymore, because it's a very sticky situation. So, you got me in trouble. I mean, you didn't mean it.
Well, I got in trouble too, Larry.
You got in trouble?
Yes.
How?
My husband came home, he said, you called Larry Glick last night. We heard you.
Oh, no kidding.
No, but he's here. He has agreed to talk to you.
He has agreed?
Yes. He'll tell you the story behind the story.
What? All right, but, oh, you know, Joanne?
Yes.
So in case those people, I will not use, you know, I'm a man of peace and compassion, right?
Oh, we all are.
But what you have to do with the incorrigibles, I would never shoot them. What do you think about that?
Now, ladies, please.
I know, I'm only kidding, but I wouldn't do anything like that either.
Who's doing that? Who's the guy with the whip?
Oh, put him on, will you, Jerry?
Okay, Larry, he'll talk to you.
Okay.
Because you said you were kind of naive about the situation.
He said what?
You said to me last night that you were kind of naive about the whole
thing.
Yeah,
well, I don't know the inside workings of a penal institution. I hope that I never do either.
Okay, here he is. Okay, I'll get him on now.
Okay. It's 23 before 1.
Hello, Larry.
Hi, officer. Don't mention your name. I'll call you Sam, okay?
What?
I'll call you Sam.
Sam, huh?
That's not your name, is it?
No.
But your wife told me one thing last night that that had me concerned. You were in Vietnam, right?
Right.
And you said you felt safer in Vietnam than you do on a Walpole. Is that true?
That's true.
Oh, well, I don't think I'd like a job down there.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been what do you call yourself? An officer there? A peace officer? Correctional officer. How long have you been a correctional officer?
2 years now.
Yeah, and what's the situation there now?
It's bad, Larry.
Oh, I know. I mean,
it's out of proportion now. You know, the inmates are now running Walpole. There's nothing seems to be getting done about it. Governor Sargent doesn't want to do anything. Commissioner Boone doesn't want to do anything. Neither does the superintendent. It's up to the officers. 9 against 320 down on accident.
What's that? It's what?
Said 9 officers against 320.
9 officers against 320. How right. Do you figure that? How come just 9 officers?
Oh, that's all we have. We're so short-handed.
What, are the officers quitting out there?
They're quitting. They're retiring. Or they're getting retired. You know,
Yeah, if this is too personal, don't mention it, but, like, what's the average monthly income of a peace officer, a correctional officer?
The income per month?
Yeah, on the average.
The average?
Yeah.
800.
800. Right. Now, what's the situation there? I mean, I don't quite understand where, I don't want you to let anything out of the bag, but
mm-hmm.
They say that the prisoners are running it, and that the prisoners are assaulting the officers. I mean, I don't understand that. When I was a kid, I used to see the pictures of the big house, and everything was under control. They knew exactly who was where, and they always had counts and so forth, and I don't understand this. They have state police. Why can't they control it? I don't understand.
Well, before we could control it.
Yeah.
You know, before they got the weapons inside the institution.
Like, what kind of weapons do they have, and how do they get them in?
They take pieces of metal, Larry, and they have what they call what would you call it? It's a spinning wheel, you know? And it cuts the metal down.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, you know, it makes it razor sharp. And then they put a handle on it. You know, it could be a couple pieces of wood onto the metal. And
don't they have these things like they have these detectors, like they have in airports, you know, before passengers get on, they have this, it's a metal detector?
Well, just coming into the institution.
Huh?
Just coming into the institution.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of our metal detectors. See, we have what they call a foundry.
Right.
And the scrap iron that comes into the institution. And out of the scrap iron, they take pieces of this metal and they make blades out of it. Because there's nobody to stop them.
So, Joanne said that there might have been, what percent of the population are armed?
Are counting them now?
Yeah.
The whole population.
They all, what do you mean they have to?
For self-protection.
For self-protection. That's amazing. That's amazing.
You've got a group of inmates there that are just, you know, strong arming people. If either they pay up or get killed.
Like, what do you mean? Pay up? I don't understand.
Well, they have what they call a canteen ticket.
Go ahead, tell me the story.
You know, they can get $10-$20 for a canteen ticket. And you've got a group of inmates there that are just going around, and they're saying, hey, hand over the canteen ticket, or else. Unbelievable as it may seem, Larry, that's the way it is. There's no rules, no regulations. It's 2 years ago, nothing. We didn't have anything going on. No assaults. If we had anything, it was a small minor fight. You know, between two guys.
And what about these people who allegedly tried to commit suicide? What's the story on that?
Yeah. Well, I think they got a hold of a bad batch of pills, Larry.
They what?
They got a hold of a bad batch of pills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were found at the institution.
Tell me what happened today. Don't use any names or anything, but like the routine, when you got to work, what happened?
The whole routine?
Yeah.
All right, I arrived at the institution about, 2:45. And I punched my card in, and we went downstairs, and the first thing I heard was two officers were assaulted. And that we were 16 men on the shot for the shift. So we weren't going inside the institution until we got, you know, some men to work overtime. Now, I can't blame the other officers because nobody wants to work overtime in that institution. And the officers inside didn't want to work. So we waited till about 4:15 to 4:30 before we went in. As we got inside, in a control area, that's in the main cell block.
Boston, WBC. Boston, WBC.
We get that out.
Okay. You use that one word we had to take off.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so we went inside the institution, and I'm one of the max block officers, and I went down on a ship, and we went down to the max area to find out that all our count sheets, our phones were ripped off. Our chairs were gone. There was some kind of liquid all over the desk in the max block. And the institution, there was no officers, you know. They were already all gone. They took off without even being relieved. We found out just a little later that they were threatened. This is one of the reasons why they took off.
Who threatened them, and how did they threaten them, and how valid are these threats?
Well, you know, it depends, you know. The valence of a threat, you know. I mean, they do it for harassment. That's what they do it. They like to get under your skin, you know. They'll come walking up to your bravest bold and say, you know, you're going to die tonight. I want to cut you up in ribbons. I want to cut your head off, you know. And you know this guy's carrying a knife, you know? I mean, he doesn't hide it, really.
Now, how are you armed?
We're not armed.
What weapons do you have?
We don't have any weapons.
You have anything at all?
No. The only time we use weapons is we have to go in and force.
Now, what if someone said that to you? What would you do?
On the outside?
No, on the inside. I mean, if he said that to you, if he threatened you, what would you do?
What have I done?
Yes.
I say, sure, fine. What else is new? What else am I going to say, Larry? The man's got a knife. If I can even put my hands on him, he's going to have about 20 to 30 inmates on me.
Holy man. Oh.
Now, well, if that was on the outside, that'd be a...
I'll tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather be selling Bibles on the outside.
Well, the officers aren't written, for a new job. Nobody can work under Boone.
You what?
Nobody can work under this Commissioner Boone.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know myself personally. I mean, if what you're saying is the truth, I don't know if I'd like to work there myself. What else happened yesterday or the day before?
Well, we had an inmate killed, Block 5, 24. Well, I shouldn't say killed, he was stabbed, excuse me. He was stabbed.
What was the story behind the story there, do you know?
Overhearing a couple of inmates talk, I believe it was over a batch of pills.
That's amazing. I was telling your wife, you know, I said that when I was a kid, you know, I'd see these prison pictures. It's not entirely like it is now. I mean, that they have prostitution and they have drugs. How can you have prostitution in a can?
It's not too hard. It's very open. We're not going to stop them, Larry.
Yeah.
We can't. They have 300, maybe 500 weapons. And when we don't have any inside that institution, we're not going to stop them.
You say they are putting this machine in, this metal detector.
Well, the metal detector is coming into the institution.
Yeah.
Through what we call from outer control to inner control.
Right.
That front control. That's just for visits.
Well, can't they have them march through this area and find out who has it, and while it and hold them in one area, and then search their sleeping area?
Sure, we did it when our other superintendent Perrell was there.
Yeah,
he cleaned the whole institution up. But as he said, Boone undermined him. He opened up the population. He opened up the shops again. And we didn't have enough officers to cover everything.
Well, listen, this is a happy show, and that's depressing.
I know it's depressing.
But I'd rather sell Bibles.
Well, I'm getting out anyway.
Are you going to quit? Huh?
Yeah, I'm resigned.
Oh, you have resigned?
Yeah, well, I'll be resigning Friday.
And what are you going to do for a job?
I'm going to law enforcement.
What sort of law enforcement?
Well, probably I'd like to go into the MDC.
Yeah.
But I'll have to wait until I take my physical.
Hey, if you want some real action, I'll try to get you in the District 4, Precinct 4 in the South End. There's a lot of action over there. I think you'd be safer over the South End than you would over there at Walpole.
I would.
Well, okay, listen, thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, Larry.
And listen to this next spot coming up, okay?
All right.
And good luck.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to tell you about Larry Glick. Do I really mean Larry Glick? Wait a minute, let me check. Yes, Larry Glick, the popular WBC personality, is going to be in tip-top condition when he returns this Sunday for his, umpteenth appearance at Jimmy McGettrick's Beachcomber on Wollaston Beach Boulevard in Quincy. Larry Glick, as you know, is a big favorite there. Well, if you didn't know, let me tell you he is, and always plays to a lot of people. His unusual brand of entertainment has a very wide appeal. His exhibitions of hypnosis provide fun as well as benefit the audience from a lot of other aspects. If you're uptight under constant stress, simply step on to the stage, I tell you, and join the subjects with Larry Glick. You'll feel better than ever before. And if you want to stop smoking, Larry will help you get started so that you will stop in 3 days. 3 days. Plan to enjoy Larry Glick and the superb show this Sunday at Jimmy McGettrick's Beachcomber, Wollaston Beach Boulevard, Quincy. Fun with Larry Glick at the Beachcomber. Reserve now by calling 479-8989. That phone number once again for a lot of fun with Larry Glick, 479-8989.
Thanks, David, old boy. It's 11 minutes before 1 o'clock. We'll have our guest on, John Lutz. 1 o'clock, head of the Odyssey Science Research Association. What do? They investigate calls about monsters, UFOs. Who knows? Who knows what a snallygaster is? It's down in Sykesville, Maryland. The Sykesville beast, still a mystery. Let's take another call. 10 minutes before 1... Hey, John, you want a job down there at Walpole? John says, no, thank you. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Hello?
Commander Glick here. Hello?
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 Hello, Larry?
Yes.
This is a first-time call from Belmont.
Is Debbie with us, kid?
Hey.
Hey.
Did you see the Red Sox game tonight?
No, I didn't. I slept tonight. I'm sorry, kid.
Oh, it was a real good game.
I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry.
You know, my mom's listening on the radio.
Huh?
My mom's listening on the radio. Say hi to her.
Who, your Ma?
Yeah.
Hi, Ma. Hi, Ma. How are you, Ma? Hi, Ma. Hi, Ma.
Larry.
What?
Shoot them guns, would ya?
No, no. Leave me alone, will you, kid? Shoot
them. Come on.
No, no.
Come on.
Hi, Ma.
I want you to shoot my sister.
I ain't gonna shoot your sister.
Oh, come on.
John, I ain't gonna shoot his sister, John. John, I ain't gonna. I shot his sister. 2545678. Hello, WBZ. I shouldn't have done that. I would never shoot a girl. Hello, WBZ. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello?
Finally,
yes.
Mr. Curry is gone now, isn't he?
Yes, he has. John is gone.
Okay, and who is this?
Let me check. There's a name on the inside of my jacket. My name is Larry Glick.
By golly, I'm listening through a headphone, and you must have about a 17-minute delay.
12-second delay. Where are you calling from, neighbor?
Indiana.
What city?
Attica.
Where?
Attica, Indiana.
Attica. First time. You must be a first-time caller because I've never heard of that town.
Right, and I'm not a kid either.
Give me a round of applause.
Fine.
Thank you. What can I do for you?
Well, I got to listen to you there for a while. I was listening to someone else before about the Watergate and everything.
That was John Kerry.
Yeah. And he was making the point that, you know, it was public in the nation and the press and everything. And where were they when they bugged the elevators for Goldwater and put people on his train and things like that? That was just fun. In the Bay of Pigs, I grant you that it was planned under one administration and executed under another, but the plans were fulfilled in the Gulf of Tonkin. I'm making a speech.
Well, that's all right. If you're from Indiana, you can make a speech because my engineer is from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I like to give those people from Indiana a break. If you all want to make a speech, you go right ahead.
No, I don't really want to make a speech.
Now, I'm happy you said that because I don't like speeches really on my program.
Well, I was listening to your program. I've been trying to get through that other guy for about 2 or 3 hours. And having a hassle with the operators.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But I got your alternate number, and it must have been your business number or something.
What do you do in Indiana?
Huh?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a salesman.
What do you sell?
Curtain rods.
Oh, yeah. You don't sound like a curtain rod salesman for some reason.
Well, you don't sound like you're a radio now.
That was a rotten thing to say, neighbor.
I know it. I can be as good as you are.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean that derogatorily. I meant you sound like you might be sort of a business president of a firm and like president of the Lions Club, that type of a person.
No,
in a small town.
No, I'm not. I'm nothing like that. I'm not radical either way.
No, I know that. All right.
I can't even get over the fact that that phone was fine. Phone finally answered.
Yeah. Let me see. You sound like Henry Fonda or Henry Fonda's brother, that type.
I wish I was.
Yeah.
I'd be able to pay this phone bill.
Hey, now, let me ask you one thing before. What do you mean I don't sound like a radio announcer? What do you mean by that? You know, I'm very sensitive. I picked that up. What do you mean by that, neighbor?
I was being defensive, neighbor.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How would you like me to whack you with a curtain rod? I mean, a used one.
That'd be very nice.
Hey, how much are curtain rods this year?
Just what the traffic will bear.
I never met a curtain rod salesman before in my life. I mean, is that a specialty, curtain rod salesman?
Yeah, it is. It's in the drapery industry.
A curtain rod salesman.
It's right into interior decorating all.
Hey, you know, when I was married, my ex-wife said, I'd like to have some draperies in this room and the bedroom. And I said, sure, let's do it. You know, I had no ideas. You know, I had no idea that I just thought you'd whack up a few curtain rods and hang some stuff down.
Hang them on the nails or something.
And when we got an estimate, it was for $2,000. I said, $2,000 for some drapes? Y'all have to be crazy, I said. And I'm from the north. I said, y'all have to be crazy. That's what it cost, about $2,000 to put up these little curtain rods and a few little drapes.
Well, a few little drapes cost a lot more than a few little curtain rods.
Yeah, I know that.
Neighbor, I think that's what you've been calling me.
Yes, I do, because you sound friendly and country-like, neighbor.
I am.
That's right, I know. Well,
You've completely disarmed me.
Huh?
You've completely disarmed me.
Well, I didn't mean to, but if you were a little closer, I'd buy a couple of curtain rods even though I didn't need them.
Okay.
Listen, I've got to go, neighbor, and I want to thank you very much, and y'all call any time, you hear?
Fine.
Okay, did you have anything serious later that you want to say? Because we'll call you back in Indiana. Was there anything that you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, I really did about
okay,
it.
Here's what to do. Now, I have to go out and get the 1 o'clock news. That's why I have to leave now.
Okay.
And then at 1 o'clock, I do the 5 minutes of news, and then I have a guest on. I want you to listen to his name is John Lutz, and we'll have him on for about a half hour or so. And then we'll take a couple calls, and we'll call you back later, all right?
Stay okay, on the line. You're fading in and out on me here.
Stay on the line and give my producer your phone number. We'll call you back. What's your first name?
Chuck.
Okay, Chuck?
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mark, take his number.
The war against poverty and hunger continues in Vietnam. BZ asks you to please help UNICEF. Help thousands of hungry, homeless children in Indochina. Give to UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, New York, New York, 10017.
It got sunny, and I know who did it.
Wait a minute, hold it. My mic was off. I'll be a son of a... John, I was talking... Joel just came in. I was talking to Joel, and my mic was off. And this is radio. You have to have your mic on. I'm sorry, folks.
That does it.
What is it, Godfather?
That does it.
What is it, Godfather?
You got my son here. Give me the phone, Tom. Give me the phone.
Godfather, be calm. We can't afford a war at this time. Think it over.
It got sunny, and I know who did it. I'm going to get him, too. Hello, buddy. Look, I'm putting out a contract on Mo Schultz. I want you to get him. I want you to get his head. I want you to get his heart. I want you to rip off his arms. I want you to get his legs. Tear him asunder. I want him hit. You understand me, buddy? Hit. Any place. I don't care. Just hit him good and hit him hard. What? This is Circle 4 on...
Hi. I'm former recording star Patty McKenzie with an offer from the Nostalgia Record Club. It's this wonderful album of the top hits from the 50s. Yes, the biggest and greatest fabulous 50s hits right here on the Nostalgia label. Here's just a sample of some of the hits you'll get.
Alvin Goldstein, hit in the flower shop in 1957. Billy the Blast, hit in the supermarket, 1953. Wilma the Wonder Dog, hit by a car, 1958. Eddie Stanky, hit by a pitch ball, 1951. And Milt Burl, hit by a pie. By a pie. By a pie. By a pie. By a pie.
Nurse, who's ringing the bell?
You are, doctor.
Well, why not? It's my bell. Send in the next patient.
Doc, I need help. They're out to get me.
Paranoid fiddle-faddle.
I told you, Doc, did you hear that?
The gunshot? No.
Doc, they're after me because I don't want to kill anymore. I used to be the number one hitman in the family.
Number one? Oh, boy! Could you autograph my nurse?
Doc, I have no interest in my work anymore. I've lost all desire for death. I want to be nice to people.
Then would you take me to Coney Island next week?
We'll be back with this session with Irving and the psychiatrist after... Let me see it. 1:55. It runs 5 minutes. I want you to hear the whole thing, but we have the news right now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Minter, and I'll be seeing you at 5:30 on the Carl DeSue Show on Radio 103.
Very good, Dave. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. It's 67 degrees in Boston. Tonight's low will be 65. I'm Streeter Glick, reporting the 1 o'clock WBZ News. At least 14 persons were killed Wednesday when former President Juan Perón returned to Argentina after 18 years in exile. Rival groups of his followers fired hundreds of shots while they awaited the arrival of Perón's plane at a Buenos Aires airport. The plane was diverted to a military airfield 10 miles to the west, and Perón's planned speech was canceled. He delivered the speech later on a nationwide radio and TV network. Wednesday was gift-swapping day at Camp David between President Nixon and his guest, Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev. For Brezhnev, the car fancier, it was an $8,000 Lincoln Continental charged off by the Ford Motor Company to sales promotion. Brezhnev also received a custom-made rifle. For Nixon, it was an antique silver samovar, a silver urn with stem goblets and a rug. Nixon and Brezhnev agreed on two pacts. One spells out new guidelines to speed disarmament talks. The other is an exchange agreement on useful and peaceful uses of atomic energy. Both will be signed Thursday. Senate Watergate investigators are reported to have received a White House summary of President Nixon's contacts with now-deposed White House counsel John Dean. NBC says the log constitutes a series of attempts to keep the truth of the Watergate scandal away from the president. The meetings were said to have taken place between late February and late April of the year. NBC News Time, 2 minutes after one.
Do you know someone who wants to learn English or prepare for their citizenship test? East Boston APAC has free afternoon and evening classes for Spanish and Italian-speaking people. They'll also help translate documents. Call 567-8857. That's 567-8857.
As Roman Catholics appeal for peace in Northern Ireland, a wave of bomb explosions rocked Londonderry shortly before midnight Wednesday. A blast in the Roman Catholic Cregan district injured an official of the Catholic Ex-Servicemen's Association. Four bombs exploded simultaneously, wrecking a bakery, garage, and lumber yard. From London, Group W's Ed DeFontaine reports on a petition to withdraw the British troops from Northern Ireland.
A British housewife is going to take her collection of 42,000 signatures supporting the withdrawal of British troops from Northern Ireland to the door of number 10 Downing Street tomorrow morning. Mrs. Peggy Chaston says that she started her campaign just 4 weeks ago when she listened to the news that three more soldiers had died in the province.
I just felt very sad at all the bloodshed and trouble that there was there, and I just felt that it was useless for the British Army to be there, and that lots of mothers and wives would feel like I did and want their boys home again.
Mrs. Chaston said that she has had such a massive response to her campaign that she intends to pursue the matter until the government recognizes that a great number of British people want to get the troops out of Northern Ireland. However, when I asked her if she had anything to say to Prime Minister Edward Heath, just in case he appears at the door, she replied, just what comes to mind if and when that happens. Ed DeFontaine, Group W News, London.
An unemployed man has been charged with the axe murders of two young men working summer jobs at a small grammar school in the Chicago suburb of Maywood. Authorities filed two counts of murder against Antonio Barrentes, who police say tried unsuccessfully to finger a friend in the investigation. Now the weather for Boston and vicinity. For the rest of this morning, becoming cloudy by sunrise with some fog developing near the coast. Lowest temperatures in the mid-60s. Thursday becoming partly cloudy by afternoon, with chance of a shower or thundershower during the afternoon. Highest temperatures, low to mid-80s. Thursday night, chance of an evening shower or thundershower followed by variable cloudiness. And Friday, partly cloudy, highest temperatures, I said that pretty good, in the 80s. Right now in Boston, it's 67 degrees. Hi, sports fans, the BZ scoreboard in the American League. Boston Red Sox 3, Milwaukee 2. Other scores, Chicago White Sox 8, California 3. Cleveland 7 and Detroit 6. Yankees 2, Baltimore 1. Texas 3 and Minnesota Zip. In the 10th inning, Oklahoma 4, Oakland 4 and Kansas City 4. In the National League, Cincinnati 7, San Francisco 5. Philadelphia 4, Mets 3, Chicago Cubs 5, and Pittsburgh 3. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. At least 14 persons were killed Wednesday when former President Juan Perón returned to Argentina after 18 years in exile. And that's the 1 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News. BZ's call for action is standing by to help you with any kind of problem, big or small, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday at 787-2300. Once again, back to the Larry Glick Show. And let's see if we have our guest is punched up. His name is John Lutz, and he's head of the Odyssey Science Research Association. And they investigate calls about monsters and UFOs. They worked with NICAP. Let's get the story about this. The Snallygaster search down in Sykesville, Maryland. Come in, John Lutz. Hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Glick. How are you?
Fine, John Lutz. I want to welcome you to WBZ. Now, what city are you in Maryland?
Well, I'm located in Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore? Are you, you're evidently not from Baltimore, because if you were from Baltimore, you would have said Baltimore.
No, I am from Baltimore.
You're the first person from Baltimore that ever said Baltimore. Usually you should say Baltimore.
Well, sorry about that, but I try to use correct grammar.
Tell me about the Odyssey Science Research Association, how you became head of it, its duties, and what they've done.
Well, I originally founded the group. I had been investigating unusual phenomena around the area from 1966. And one of my partner's sons was looking up through a dictionary, and he said, you know, that would be an unusual name. It's a Greek word meaning time, space, and travel. So we looked around and found out there was no other organization that used it. So we started calling ourselves Odyssey Scientific Research Association. Also, we've had several top-notched experts in different fields, both at UFOs and other unidentified things. And we've got Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
Oh, I interviewed him.
Right, who was the former Air Force consultant for UFOs. He's one of our consultants. And we've got a couple aeronautical engineers. We had late Ivan Sanderson.
Oh, I know him, too. I mean, I interviewed him, too.
Right. And I think you've interviewed everybody that we've got as technical advisors or consultants. And we have a couple zoologists. We've got the assistant director of the Baltimore Zoo. He also works with us. And, that's about it for the time. Odyssey investigates unidentified flying objects is our main function. We've got into this here a monster case, sort of the sideline, on a request of a friend of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And in 1970, we took the name Odyssey. We've been operating ever since. We have 14 men. It's a nonprofit volunteer organization. And we have, every type of field covered. We have meteorology, photography, radiology, meteorology, astronomy. And we've got a couple of geologists, electrical engineers, aeronautical engineer are in with us, registered nurse. And that's what we do. We like to go out in the field, cover, reports of the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot. We don't get to any of that down here in the Baltimore area.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I used to call Roger Patterson, and I should say the late Roger Patterson, once every 4 or 5 months. He was a rancher up there. And he used to go out on these expeditions searching for Sasquatch.
Right. Roger Patterson, he founded the North American Wildlife Research Association. And it is now directed by Ron Olson.
Would you like to hear sounds of Sasquatch?
Yes, I would.
I bet you've never heard this. I've got the authentic sounds of this monster called Sasquatch from the territory of the Northwest. This is it.
Thank you.
That's it.
I never knew anybody had that on tape.
I have it. I'm the only one that has Sasquatch on tape.
If I would have known you had it, I would have called you earlier than this. And you could have come down here to Sightsville and see if you could catch a thing.
If me catch a thing that sounded like that? You've got to be kidding there, John. I'd have gone the other way. Imagine going through a wooded area and hearing this thing scream like that. I just said, Charlie DiGiovanni, where are you? And Charlie just came in. Charlie would protect me.
Right.
He would. Charlie would get up there right in front of me. I'd say, Charlie, wait a minute, Charlie. You see the size of that monster? He's seven feet, 10 inches tall. Hairy. Eyes the size of jumbo marbles that glow in the dark. I don't know whether it's Sasquatch or a Snallygaster.
Well, we don't believe it's a Snallygaster because the definition is a Snallygaster is supposed to be part man, part reptile. And from all the witnesses that we had on this case, this thing was supposed to have been around 7.5 feet tall, looking like a giant ape, walking erect like a man. And we estimated his weight somewhere between around 300 to 400 pounds. We had a veterinarian with us, and he was armed with tranquilizer weapons. And we would like, if we could ever catch one, we would like to take it alive, because it's more of a scientific valuable, it's a lot more valuable in the scientific world if it's alive. And we're out there, I'm out there anyway, to try and take it alive. We would only kill it if it would be a matter of self-preservation.
John, I'd like to ask you a question about something that actually happened. Have you ever seen anything? Have you ever been out on an expedition? Did you ever see a monster? Did you ever see a UFO? Did you ever see anything personally, anything that was exciting, John?
Well, when we were out on in Sykesville a week ago Sunday, we had a search party of a zoologist. We also had a couple of police officers with us, and a game department officer was with us also. And we were walking along the railroad track, and we don't know if it was the creature itself, but it seemed like something was walking parallel to us in the woods. And when we started into the wooded area, it ran away from us. According to zoologists, even though we didn't see it, it sounded to him like it was a man or somebody running on 2 feet. And it was a very heavy person, judging by the sounds going through the woods. Now, that's little to go on, really, but that's all that we really did have.
Now, you have all these technical people on your staff that belong to the organization. Do you train people in this organization? Do you train for any particular type of training?
No, these people, I mean, when we started out, it was just the three of us. We had a maintenance supervisor of all the state cars in Maryland. And we also had a Baltimore City firefighter.
Baltimore, there you are. Okay, you said it.
Baltimore.
Go ahead, Baltimore.
And myself, and I'm a dispatcher with the Department of Traffic Engineering in Baltimore City.
That sounds kind of boring next to searching out for a Snallygaster.
No, you'd be surprised. We get a lot of activity on Department of Transit and Traffic here in Baltimore City itself.
What was the most exciting thing that you ever saw or did?
Well, I guess the most exciting thing that I ever saw or did was render first aid, and this is a little bit out of the line, but this was rendering first aid in the tornadoes that came through parts of Pennsylvania about 8 or 9 years ago. Never want to see that again because it was pouring rain, and there was nobody else around, and somebody had to do it. I knew first aid, so I went ahead and did it. That was the most exciting thing. That's out of the regular categories that I work, though. Getting back on the UFOs, I saw a UFO once. It was directly over my home. A friend of mine had to call me and say, Mr. Lights, there's something strange in the sky. And I went out and looked out there, just these two blue objects sitting in the sky and no sound. And they looked metallic in color, or metallic in reflection. And I watched him. I called Luke Corbin, and I know you interviewed him also. And he watched them from his location. And after about 20-25 minutes, they just started gradually ascending until they disappeared from sight. I've never been able to figure that out.
Hey, what about this fellow, Dr. Ted Roth of the Baltimore Zoo? What sort of a guy is he, and what has he done?
Well, Dr. Ted Roth is a man, he's an elderly man.
What's elderly?
Well, I'd say
29?
Maybe 60.
Oh, okay.
And I hope I'm not offending. And he's the assistant director of the Baltimore Zoo. He went along, he was a big game hunter in Africa. He's hunted many, many games.
Hey, I'd like to have him on one night. How do we get a hold of him?
Well, you can call him through the Baltimore Zoo, and I'll give you his number and get off the air.
Very good. That's very good.
And Dr. Roth went out with us with a tranquilizer gun and his big Great Dane tracker dog by the name of Loki. And Loki was not able to pick up any scent, but Dr. Ross said if we'd have to be in the right position and know the exact location where this creature would have been within at least 2 to 3 hours for his dog to pick up a scent, because that's all the longer the dog stays in the area.
Well, it's difficult, too, because the monster was using underarm deodorant. It was even more difficult.
We're not sure. He might have been. But I'll say one thing. If anybody was walking around in a monkey costume in Sykesville,
yes,
at that time, he was asking to be shot. Because everybody in that town and everybody in, I'd say, a 10-mile radius of it had a shotgun or a revolver playing on their night table or sitting next to the front door.
And you think they really would have used it?
I firmly believe they would have used it. It's only through the good police work of Chief Omar Hebert, who's a Sykesville town police chief. It was only through his good work and his statement that if anybody was caught carrying a gun outside the house, they were going to get locked up. In fact, they locked up a couple people that was carrying guns in the area. They were in the wooded area, supposedly hunting monsters.
Got him, John.
You know, if I had heard that sound, I may have been running too.
Well, here's what I want to do. What if someone wants to join up with your organization, John? How do they do that?
Well, if they would write us with their name, address, and phone number, and we're looking for new members almost anywhere in the United States, if they would write to Odyssey, care of Post Office Box 2022, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. And we will be back in touch with you.
Very good. Okay. Now, would you stay online and give Mark the number for Dr. Ted Roth?
I sure will, and thank you very much, Mr. Click.
Mr. Lutz, I want to thank you very much, and stay away from the snallygasters.
Will do.
So long.
Okay, thank
Mark,
you.
Get this doctor's name. We'll have him for another night. Dr. Ted Roth, Baltimore Zoo. We'll take a call. I want to speak to Charlie after this, but when you're troubled from time to time by discomforting arthritis, minor pain, and its stiffness, let me ask you, suppose you had a flare-up right now, what would you do to get real fast relief? Well, this is what you can now do. It's that spray and rub in exocaine where it hurts. for Exocaine medicated foam contains a medically proved analgesic that's quickly and deeply absorbed through your skin. And to bring you welcome relief and soothing comfort from arthritis, minor pain, and its stiffness. Up to hours at a time. I know you're going to love Exocaine. Not only because it's greaseless, stainless, and fragrant. Next time you get an arthritis flare-up, do rub in Exocaine to help rub out arthritis minor pain. There's no other leading rub like it. Get Exocaine medicated foam at your drugstore today. You need no prescription. E-X-O-C-A-I-N-E. Exocaine. I challenge you. Did I do a good job on that Exocaine?
Very good, lad.
Exocaine. You don't have any arthritis, do you?
No.
All right, wait a minute. I can't hear Charlie on the... Can you hear him?
Okay.
Yeah, now we can hear you. It's funny, that microphone has to warm up or something.
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Have you bumped into any snallygasters lately?
No, I haven't, Larry.
Okay.
Larry,
what, Charlie?
I was talking to some people today. It's good you gave the scores at night because some of them guys would just turn into another station to get the scores.
I don't want to hear that, Charlie.
Well, that was and they said I helped you with the scores last night.
Right.
They thought that was great because they really, you know, they really like to hear them, you know.
Well, that's my job, Charlie.
That's
it's
right.
My job to give them the news, the weather, the sports.
And we took 3 out of 4 from Milwaukee.
I just happened to think of something. Isn't that... Well, I was coming to work this morning about 11 o'clock. There was an accident right near the area that I live in Brookline. Hey, Mark, I forgot. Would you do this call the Brookline police, please, Mark?
Right near Washington.
Washington and Beacon.
Beacon, right.
There was an accident there tonight. A man was hit, and he looked in bad shape. Mark, would you call the Brookline police and see if we can get someone to tell us the results? I'll tell you that... The Brookline police came from every direction. They had an ambulance there, and it seemed like seconds. They all hit there about the same time. They picked this guy up and put him in the ambulance, and off they went. Brookline police, Buck, the accident around 11 o'clock at the corner of Washington and Beacon. Tada rabah.